Hashem, what we're doing this afternoon is basically two topics. One is finishing up from what we had done last time, and that is Akiras versus Achodesh, and that's number one that we have on the board, Akiras versus Achodesh. Then what we're going to do is discuss a whole new category, and that's going to be the bulk of this year. And that is a group of new vestos that we haven't learned before at all. And those are Vesas Hakfitzos, Vesas Hamurkov. Oh, we have Vesas Hamurkov up twice. Vesas Hakfitzos, Vesas Hamurkov. And the other one is Vesas Haguf. That's what it should say. Vesas Haguf. And the Vesas of Achila Shum. Some called Vesas as well. So what we're going to do first tonight, today, is we're going to start with Akiras Vesa Chodesh, where we're up to in the Shulchan Aruch, and then what we're going to do is outline these different Vestos. And once we outline these different Vestos, after a deeper Havana today, most of the Halach Lamaisa we'll get to on Thursday. But we first have to have these things clear, and Be'ezer Hashem will present these things in a clear manner. So let's take a look at Siftes Zayin, where we're up to Akiras Veses HaChodesh. So we all know that what a Veses HaChodesh is that if a woman sees three times on a particular day, so then in such a case, she has a Veses of Chodesh. How does one uproot it? So last week, before Rabbi Brander came, we read the Mechaber. Now we'll just put a couple of pieces together with the Mechaber, and then we'll be ready to begin the new topic. So it says in the Mechaber, Keyotze bazed din akiras veses roshei chadashim. Just like we spoke about uprooting of veses haflaga, so too we speak about uprooting of veses of rosh chodesh. Keitzat. Hoysa regila liros b'roshei chadashim. So she saw on rosh chodesh, v'avra le rosh chodesh v'lo ra'asa, choshesheh rosh chodesh ad sheyavru aleha shlosha roshei chadashim. Once three roshei chadashim pass, so then she's uprooted her veses. So once three have passed, you've uprooted. So what you have is, she saw during the 3 months in the summer, she saw Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz, Av, Elul, and then that Rosh Chodesh passes three times, she's uprooted her veses HaChodesh. Chazra v'rasa b'Rosh Chodesh, chazra veses l'mekomo. But if she once again sees on any Rosh Chodesh, her veses returns, and Ramosha asked me afterwards to clarify, it's correct that a woman who, for many years, did not see on Rosh Chodesh, she has to remember, according to the Shulchan Aruch, listening to the Shulchan Aruch, that she has to remember what her veses is. It's not as stringent that she has to hold on to all of her calendars, but she has to remember for the rest of her life, according to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. I've decided to keep things simple. I've decided not to say over the complicated Torah of Rav Willig Shlita, where he argued that maybe there's room to disagree with the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, but that is our great Rebbe, at the end of the day, is a Das Yachid, and from what I see, most of the Olam follows this Psak. If you want to get more complicated, we could discuss in the Beis Medrash what that's based on. Okay, so this is the case of Akiras versus Roshei Chadashim. Let's just clarify through the eyes of the Shach a couple of details about Akiras versus Roshei Chadashim, and then we'll be ready to go on to a new topic. Zok de'ele geshach, sivkotem memvav, avro lechazra, v'hu adin, v'shinta riosela shalosh pama l'rios she'inan shavos, v'chazra v'rasa b'rosh chodesh, so the Shulchan Aruch had said, what happens if she switches to different days? So then, in such a case, then she uproots her Veses. Similarly, if she's created a scattered Re'iyah, so then in such a case, her Veses is undone. And if she's on Rosh Chodesh, so then in such a case, her Veses has returned. So we've described and we've done Akiras Veses of Rosh Chodesh. And in general, the rule of thumb is the day has to pass, except for a couple of complicated instances that we had with Veses HaFlaga, but the day passes and she doesn't see, so then that's one strike against the Vessus. The day passes, she doesn't see. Two strikes against the Vessus. Day passes, doesn't three? Doesn't see, then it's three strikes. I just wanted to share with you one fascinating discussion in the Badei HaShulchan that you have in the booklets that the Badei HaShulchan raises in regards to one fascinating exception in the rule of Vessus HaKodesh. He discusses, I'm not going to bring out why he brought this up at this particular place. For those of you who are ambitious, you'll take a look that this follows up on previous issues that we've discussed in the past. But 10 lines from the bottom, even less, maybe 8 lines from the bottom. First word on the line is Legamri. This is in Os Kuf Lamites of the Badei HaShulchan. Vihine. The Badei HaShulchan raises an interesting question. Vihine. There's a period right before it. It's towards the end of the line, and on the other side line says sheyesh vihine hecha sheira kein beisha sheyesh laveses kavua liyom hakodesh. That a woman who has a veses kavua for yom hakodesh ukegon sheisa regila liros pechad bechodesh vishinta liros betesvav lechodesh vechazer achakach liros shuv beechad lechodesh. So you have a woman who has a veses on Rosh Chodesh, and now she saw on the 15th. So let's plot this out. This is in black, so this is Akiras Vesas HaChodesh. You had a woman who is seeing consistently on Rosh Chodesh, and then she sees on the 15th of that month, and then once again, she sees on Rosh Chodesh. Now, Rabosa, here's the Shaila. Does she have to be Choshesh for the 15th afterwards?
Is the Rosh Chodesh here after Kavua?
Yes, the Rosh Chodesh here is Kavua.
But the 15th isn't.
And the 15th is not. So generally, the rule of thumb is that when it comes to Hachlaga, the answer is no, you would not have to be Choshesh. Comes along the Badei HaShulchan and he says, this is an exception. He says, this is an exception to the rule. He says that at the end of the day, is it possible for a woman to have two Vestos HaChodesh? So if you take a sneak ahead in Sif Lamed Beis, you'll see that the Mechaber says that it's possible, even though in general it's impossible to have two Vestos Haflaga, you could only have one. But what happens if a woman sees all the time, both on the 1st and on the 15th? Says the Badei HaShulchan that even though our rule of thumb is that once the Vestos comes back, you're not Choshesh for anything else, the one exception to the rule is going to be a Vesas HaChodesh. Again, case being that she's seeing Rosh Chodesh Kavua, this one time she saw on the 15th, she saw once on the 15th, and then she saw again on Rosh Chodesh, the question is, do you have to be Choshesh for the 15th? So if this was a Haflaga, let's say of 25 days, and then one time she saw a Haflaga of 20 days, and then she saw again on the 25th, for sure on the 20th you wouldn't have to be Choshesh, it was Haflaga. But says the Badei HaShulchan from the Chavis Das, a brilliant idea, that could be that when it comes to Vesas HaChodesh, that's different. Otherwise, Vesas HaChodesh and Vesas HaFlaga are the same thing. The Svar is very simple. If you take a look in Sif Lamed Beis, you'll see that it's possible for a woman to have a Vesas HaChodesh on two different days. It's possible for her to see on every 15th of the month and every Rosh Chodesh of the month. So if that's so then in such a case, she's going to have a full Vesas HaChodesh twice. So the same would apply if she's seen after Rosh Chodesh, she's seen on the 15th, she'll now have to be Choshesh for the 15th as well. Okay, this is topic number one. We summarized Akiras Vesas HaChodesh, and now we go to a brand new topic. As you might notice, I decided to skip some of the difficult shachs that I gave for you in Seder. I'm not going to skip any shach that is extremely, extremely relevant. I want the Talmidim to continue to go over and bother me about every shach, even the ones that are not so relevant, but I think that this is the best way to go in terms of learning Vestos. Okay.
What's the Pshat Kalacha here in the end? How do we pass
one? I think the Badei HaShulchan is Choshesh for such a thing, and it's the Chavis Das and the Beis Meir are Choshesh. halacha lemaisa, that each one should ask their rav.
I mean, granted, yes. Halacha lemaisa, it's very rare that it would happen.
What's that?
It's also halacha lemaisa very rare that it would probably happen.
Yes, it's not so common as well. It's not so common as well.
Well, why not? One time she could. She just
it's not common. It's not common for a woman to have veses kavua. That's what's not common. The reason why I'm saying ask a rav is not because I don't want to discuss halacha lemaisa. It's because I believe there are two sides, and both sides are legitimate. If I thought that one side wasn't legitimate, then I would say that. I think that they're here, there are two legitimate sides, and one can ask a shayla in such a case. Okay, let's go on to Sif Yud Zayin. For us to understand, this is a beautiful, beautiful sugya. This sugya could be really hard, and it could be easier. Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to make it easier, okay? So when it comes to the sugya of Veses, when it comes to the sugya of Veses Hakfitzos, we're going to start off with the Gemara on the back of the packet, and with that we're going to introduce the Shulchan Aruch. There's a very important Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph in Nida, which is the Gemara of Kafza V'Rasa. It's in the back of your packet, Daf Yud Aleph. Of course, all of this is quoted in the Beis Yosef. If you notice, because Vestos are more difficult, I'm doing less Beis Yosef, because I think it will be easier for the Talmidim to understand that we're going to use the board more. And I'm going to focus what the Beis Yosef discusses through the eyes of the Shulchan Aruch. Excuse me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaro.
Amen.
So comes along the Gemara, quoting Rav Huna, six lines from the top. Amar Rav Huna, kafza v'rasa, kavala vesas. If a woman jumps and she sees dam, so then in such a case, she has created a vesas. Now, immediately, the Gemara is going to qualify what it Rav Huna's statement. Lemay, ilema liyamim, are you going to say she has a vesas for days? Hakol yoma de lo kafitz lo chazoy. A day that passed that she didn't jump, she didn't see. Elo lekfitzos. But rather, says the Gemara, this is called a vesas lekfitzos. What is lekfitzos? So we are going to have a fundamental machlokis between Rashi and Tosos on how to read those words, elo lekfitzos. Zakdei lege Rashi, elo lekfitzos. Kivan derasa shalosh pa'amim al yidei kvitza, since she sees three times by jumping, hurgala liriyas kvitza, she has shown us that it is common for her to see through jumping. Ubechol yom shetikvots matzakina la beroa, and any time she jumps, she has set a precedent that she's a roa, that she sees. Now, if we were doing the Gemara in detail, we would go on and analyze the Gemara through Rashi's opinion, and Tosas claims we will come to the conclusion that Rashi really doesn't read well into the Gemara. And I'll just say it out for you briefly. It's not critical for the halacha lemaisa, but at the same time, I encourage the Talmidim to see it through the Gemara as well. The Gemara seemingly asks a question. If there's an ones that brings it on, it's not a veses, and the Gemara here assumes that kfitzas are like ones. My love, lo kava veses klal. Says the Gemara, lo kava veses liyam lechudai or kfitzas lechudai. Avol kava la veses liyamim ule kfitzas. So Tosas points out that the simple reading of the Gemara is that this woman, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, only has a Veses for both Yamim and Kvitzos. That means that if she jumps at a particular day, on that day she has a Veses. Take a look at Tosas Dibur HaMaskil Elul Kvitzos. Pirush Rashi, first line, on the top of Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. Pirush Rashi L'Kvitzos L'Chudayu. Rashi says that you could have a Veses for jumping alone. Then Tosas asks, and Tosas points out that the simple reading of the Gemara is that you only have Kvitza if you jump on a particular day. And therefore Tosas concludes, again the underline in the focapi, the last wide line, V'nir lefarish elo lekvitzos af lekvitzos, da'ainu liyomin im kvitzos, So here we have a machlokas between Rashi and Tosos about Veses HaKfitzos, whether Kfitzos alone create a Veses. Rashi holds Kfitzos Levad, and Tosos says, no, Kfitzos Im Yamin. We're going to see that this is often used, referred to, in a different term. And that is the term of Veses Hamurkav. And that is, it's a combination. A combination of both days and jumping. Oh, so we have Big Machlokes Rashi Taisis. The Beis Yosef goes on, and he throws the Baal HaMor onto Rashi's side, and almost all of the other Rishonim onto the other side. And the most dramatic of all those Rishonim is the Rambam in Periches Halacha Hey of Isurei Bia. The Rambam says that this is called, the Rambam describes the position of Tosos. He goes with the Shita of Tosos, and the Rambam says that Kfitzos Levad Ones. The Rambam describes that it's considered like an Ones. Very good. Well, the question is how do you read the Gemara also. Okay? How do you read the Gemara? So that's obviously Rashi's going to need a teretz from the Gemara itself. So at the end of the day, it's called an ones. Now, most Mefarshim explain two points about this ones. Number one, this is a very critical point because the rest of the shiur we're going to be focused on this issue. And that is the Rishonim, the Achronim spell out that what the Rambam is saying is two different things. Number one is that this is something that's external. Up until now, when we've had a Veses, it's not that there was something outside that caused the woman to bleed. It's something that's external that caused the woman to bleed. Number two, they say, that if it's external, it's also unpredictable. And that is, you don't know, it's not an internal clock of the woman. So there's nothing about jumping, per se, that makes sense that should be connected to the hormonal cycle. Therefore, the Achronim say that it has two parts to it. Number one, that it's external, and number two, that external part makes it unpredictable. Now, it's critical for understanding the rest of the shir as well, which is basically the rest of the Shulchan Aruch, to figure out Shulchan Aruch, and just to know the Halachos Mesudar. That's how the Achronim spell it out. Okay. Now we're ready for the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Machlokas Rashi Tosas, the Rambam's dramatic description, and the Shulchan Aruch. Zok the Heilige Mechaber. Kol Veses Shenikva Machmas Ones. Any Veses that is due to an Ones. Now notice, that is the Rambam's bias. Rav Yaakov and I could discuss in the Mineu Bey and the Gemara, I think Rashi would not be so happy with that Lashem. Machmas Ones. Because machmas onus means that this is not something that's internal, but so Shulchan Aruch tells us his bias. Kol veses shenikba machmas onus kigon shekafsa v'rasa. So Rabosa, you see how it lines up. Number two is in green. Sugya number two is in green. Veses hakfitzas. We're gonna have the next sugya veses hamurkav. That's gonna be in red, and that will continue in red. And we're going to see that eventually these sugyas are going to converge. Okay. Continues the Heilige Mechaber, Kol Veses Shenikva Machmas Ones, Kegon Shekafsa Rasa, Afil Rasa Kama Pamim, Im Lo Kava Osan L'Yomim. Now here he just adds that we're not talking about that the jumping happens on a particular day and that she sees, but rather every time she jumps, she sees blood. Eina Veses Shemipnei Ha'ones Rasa. It's not considered Veses because she saw it due to an Ones. Okay, so bottom line, how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch's psak is, the psak in Shulchan Aruch is Eina Veses. In other words, it has no halachic significance if this happens three times when she jumps. She jumps three times, no halachic significance. So far so good, any clarification necessary? Good? Oh, very good. He's passing like Tosos and the Rambam. I can't bring myself as someone who most of my morning is the job is to explain the omic of Rashi, to put an X next to Rashi, I can't bring myself to do. But at the end of the day, yes, the Shulchan Aruch follows Taisus and not Taisus and the Rambam and not Rashi and the Baal HaMoor. Beautiful. Okay. Now we get a little bit nuanced over here.
Does Rebbe mean jumping three times? Okay. Does nothing?
No. I'm about to get there. Very good. So the Mechaber says that's nothing. Comes along the Rambam and he tells us it's a little. It has some halachic significance. And what we're going to have is three exceptions to what we're going to have is three exceptions to the rule that we veses of kvitzos is nothing. In other words, it's going to have three halachic significance, even though we don't consider a veses kavua. Okay? Comes along the Ramah, and number one is the Ramah. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says like this, Umikol makom choshesh eslo kmo veses sheino kavua. So even though we say that the rule is that it's considered mamish, not a veses, in other words, at first glance, if you go with Tosus and the Rambam, it's of no significance, says the Ramah, but we're choshesh kveses sheino kavua. We consider it as if it's a veses sheino kavua. What does that mean? We consider it as if it's a veses sheino kavua. That means that if it happened three times that she jumped and she saw blood, so then we're choshesh once the next time. In contrast to if you have a veses kavua, then it takes three times to uproot. Here we're choshesh once that she's going to see. Now, this is Agos Maimini. Agos Maimini is always gives us a lot of trouble. I think we were really confused from the Agos Maimini last time. So we're going to leave the Agos Maimini on the board. We're not going to get into all the different possibilities. But at the end of the day, one could argue that the Svara of the Agos Maimini, in other words, if you're a purist in the Rambam and Tosos, it's nothing. If it's nothing, 0 + 0 = 0. So the Agos Maimini says, well, even though it's nothing, but should it be less than a Vesa Sheina Kavua? So once might be nothing in terms of the jumping alone. We're going to see that the Shach will add something. The jumping alone is not significant. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the fact that three times, it shouldn't be any worse than a woman who saw once that you have to be choshesh one time for the chodesh, one time for the aflaga, hence the chumrah of the Ramah. Yes, Yisrael?
Choshesh for just jumping? Or mm-hmm. Without the
That means very, very good. That means practically, if a woman jumps three times and she sees, then the next time she jumps, you have to be choshesh once. If she doesn't see, then everything's fine. Shalom al Yisrael, we're not choshesh at all. What's that? Will she have to do a bedika? Shaila Tova? I don't know. The answer is I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Well, first of all, I mean, you just want to start another fight.
No, you're on it again.
I'm joking.
Next time something happens,
it's dependent on your old machlok. It's about Vesa Shein and Kavua. L'chura. So hence I say I don't know. Okay. So that's exception number one. Okay? Comes along the Shach, and the Shach gives us two more exceptions. Let's read the Shach in Sivkat and Memches. Shach's gonna give us two more, be straightforward. Says the Shach, we'll go from the beginning to the end. Not all the way to the end, because I don't want to make things too complicated. So we'll go towards the end in the Shach, but we'll read most of the Shach inside. Says the Shach, Dibaraskun Kamakum Khoshesh Islo. Kivan Shi'ira Kain Shalosh Pamim Kain Hu Bagos Maimini Umevio Beis Yosef Darkei Moshe. So this is brought up by both the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe. So Shach is saying that he likes it. It's interesting, the Beis Yosef himself didn't quote it. Okay. Venerally, the lo asala fuke shein swicha locha shakol pam shetikvots kishlo irikain shalosh pa'amim. Says the Shach, when we say it's not significant, it means that we don't have to be choshesh every time she jumps. Aval, now the Shach raises the following question. What happens if it's a veses hachodesh? What do we mean? Aval a veses hachodesh ul aflagat swicha locha shafilu pam achas. Kigon. Shekoftsa v'rosa v'achres from yom. So let's go in order of shach. First he speaks about haflaga. What happens, says the shach, if she jumps and she sees, and 20 days later she jumps and she sees again? So it's 20 with a, pardon, this is my childhood, J is, it's Michael Jordan, that's a cool world, a letter. 20 is, so she jumps, she sees, 20 days later, jumps and sees, okay, J and sees, 20 days pass, she jumps, and she sees again, okay? So what would you say, Rabbi Osai? It's nothing. It's nothing. No halachic significance. She jumps and she sees, there's no halachic significance. Wait a second, there's our flog. There's our flog over here. Says the shach goes on and he says, Duluye rasa mi esrim le esrim below kfitza. Let's say you took out the jump. Let's say she just saw in an interim of 20 days. What do you do? The next 20 days, you have to be choshesh on the 20th day. Continues the Heilige Shach, Duluye rasa mi esrim le esrim below kfitza, tzricha lochosh le esrim. V'chi b'shvil shekofsa mitchila yigara? Just because now she jumped, it's going to be worse? Says the Shach, obviously, when we say it's nothing, it doesn't mean that it's nothing, nothing, nothing. What we mean is that you can't be koveya beses. So that's another exception to this rule that kvitzos is nothing. It doesn't mean that kvitzos are nothing. Okay. By the way, someone could come over, and Rabbi Yaakov might start to say this, and say, you don't even, it's so obvious. It's so obvious. Okay. But that's why we're learning everything that's obvious and to try to keep things as straightforward as possible. That's number two, okay? Well, I guess what you were going to say? Okay, number three. He always likes to complicate. What can I do? So number three. The third exception. I'm teasing him, Yaakov. Number three, the third exception, says the Shach, is the following. Says the Shach, let's skip a few lines. V'chein, im kofza b'tesvav b'nisan, v'kofza b'tesvav b'ir. If she jumped on the 15th of Nisan, she jumped on the 15th of Iyar. Tzricha lochush la'osa yom shu leveses hachodesh ha'idei kvitza. Da veses hachodesh hu keveses hafog b'chol davar. So similarly, the same thing is going to happen if she jumped chodesh, yom hachodesh we'll call it, yom hachodesh, she jumped on the 15th, J on the 15th. So when it comes the next 15th, so then if she jumps, you have to be choshesh. Because it's not going to be any less argashach than a regular veses hachodesh. Tov. That's it. That's the end of the green for today. Okay? So this is veses kvitzos. From the beginning till the end, minus a little bit of the lamdus, and this is the beginning of the end of veses hakvitzos. We have machlokes rishonim. Starts with Gemara, right? Just because we're streamlining it doesn't mean I'm going to be mevater on the Gemara. Start with the Gemara, Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, Machlokas Rashi Tosas, summarize the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch taking sides, exception in the Ramah, two more exceptions in the Shach, which Rabbi Yaakov points out is logical. By the way, Yesh Lachkor, Rabbi Yaakov, what is it? Is the Mechayiv the Yom, or is the Mechayiv the Kvitza? Okay, so we're trying to keep it simple, so we're going to leave that out. One thing I feel passionately about, that even on a hard simon like Vestos, at the end of the day, I feel passionately we should do every word in the Heilige Shulchan Aruch. So let's continue on reading the Shulchan Aruch's words to finish the Sif, and then I want to take your questions. I'll take Noah and Yisrael. Continues the Mechaber. Kofza v'rasa, kofza v'rasa. If she jumps and she sees, kovla v'eses liyame b'lo kfitzos. So then, she's koveya v'eses liyame b'lo kfitzos. What does that mean? So Mechaber will explain. Ketzat. Kofza becha b'shabes v'rosa dam. Ula achar esrim yom, kofza becha b'shabes v'rosa dam. If she jumps on the 20th twice and she sees blood, ula achar yutes yom, kofza b'yom ha-shabes, v'lo rosa dam, ula achar ha-shabes rosa b'lo kvitza, ha-reza nikba echa b'shabes achar esrim, sh'rei noda sh'hayom gorem lo v'lo ha-kvitza. The Mechaber now concludes and says, it's not Veses HaKvitzos. If a woman sees every interval of 20, and she jumped on the first two 20s, and the third one she jumped on the 19th, and then she saw on the 20th. So then, what's her vesses? It's not vesses of kvitzos. Vesses of kvitzos wouldn't be significant, but it's a regular vesses hayomim. So we haven't created any new vestas. We've said what green is. No vestas akvitzas, with three exceptions, the Ramah and the Shachs, two exceptions. Okay.
Rabbi, is that how we pass them? The Rambam versus everybody else?
Yes.
Pass like
we pass it in Shulchan Aruch like this? Absolutely. This is how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. The pass in Shulchan Aruch. Sif Yud Ches. Yes, so Yisrael and Noah. Yeah.
The third exception is the same thing, just between a Chodesh and Sadafaga.
Exactly. That's all it is. It's the same thing, just one is Chodesh and the other is Afaga. Question is whether in Svara you might have thought that they were different. There could still be Nafkaminas between the two. But for our purposes and keeping things straightforward, we're going to leave it like that. Yes, Noah?
According to the Ramah,
yes.
He says you're choshish for Enoch Kavua.
Correct.
Could he even say, even after one time jumping and singing, that you'd be choshish?
No. The answer is that the Ramah is saying that three times is enough of a chash to give it the status of an Enoch Kavua. I don't think the Ramah is saying that one time you would.
Yeah, just because when I read it again, it sounds like it could mean you can go both ways.
You could read it both ways, but I don't think that's what the Ramah is saying. If you find someone who says differently, I'd be very interested, Noah. Okay? Sif Yud Ches. Continuing on with these halachos of Veses of Kvitza, which we've already learned the basic rules, probably not going to even need to put anything more on the board. The Shulchan Aruch now is just going to cut like butter. Says the Mechaber Sif Yud Ches. Kavtza biyom yadua. Kigon Barosh Chodesh. Oh, you know what? We are going to need a new color. Let's go. This is red. Kofza biyom yadua, kigon Barosh Chodesh, o be'echa b'shabes, v'rasavo, v'ira kem b'shlosha rosh echadoshim, o b'shlosha echa b'shabes, kovala veses. So, on the other side of the extreme, we have, you know what? It's actually just an extension of this. What it is, we're not going to put on the other side. What it is the red version of the green. And that is Veses Hamurkav. Veses Hamurkav is the exact opposite halacha because of a slight change. And Veses Hamurkav is that when the woman jumps on a particular day, then she sees. So says the Mechaber as follows, that if she jumps and sees Rosh Chodesh three times, so then in such a case, once she jumps and sees three times, that is a Murkav of the jumping and the days. So when does the Tosos and the Rambam say it doesn't have significance? That's only when it sits by itself. But Yomim, of course, we know has significance. Yomei Chodesh has significance. But she only sees on the day that she jumps. That is not going to be considered an ones, because that already is also connected to the yamin. V'ameivin yavin yesh lachkar. What exactly does the jumping do? Because if the jumping is of no significance, how does that work? Okay, that's a little bit beyond our scope. Back into the Shulchan Aruch. Kavtza biyom yadua, kigom b'rosh chodesh o b'echa b'shabes v'rasaba, v'ira kein b'shlosha rosh shechadashim, oh, b'shlosha echa b'shabes kavala veses. So if this happens three times, you have a veses. So again, let's just have everything on the board. We have it. Three times on Rosh Chodesh, she jumps and she sees on that rechosh. So what's the halacha? V'choshesh es l'kol pam shetikvot boses mat. Anytime, you're not choshesh for every Rosh Chodesh. You're going to be choshesh for every time that she jumps on Rosh Chodesh. If she doesn't jump that Rosh Chodesh, then you don't have to be Porish. V'ma'achar kach yigi'echa b'shabes v'lo kafza, o shekafza b'sheni b'shabes ene choshesh'es. But if she jumps on another day, then you don't have to be choshesh. Sh'rei lo kava el l'kfitzos shel'echa b'shabes. Hence this halacha v'esmorkav. Now, because I believe very passionately not to skip the Shulchan Aruch, you should know that this case, I haven't come across it yet. This is uncommon. This is uncommon. First of all, we don't have Vesa Kvitzos. Vesa Murkav is quite uncommon, but there, we have to know what it is. Okay.
Is it explicit over here that the
Kvitzos
doesn't mean something?
Oh, that's, I said, Yesh Lachkor. I said, Yesh Lachkor, what did the Kvitzos do to change? Nachon, that's a fair question, and that we could discuss in the Beis Medrash. That's a very fair question. Now, in the handouts, we had another Gemara. It wasn't part of the booklet, and that's the Gemara on that on the end of the Meseches, Samach Gimel. Samach Gimel on Beis. Yes, Yisra. That's what's going to bring us to, what color are we up to? That's going to bring us up to Veses Haguf. Okay. That's going to bring up the Veses Haguf. Veses Haguf is the other extreme. Veses Haguf is over here. And we're going to have to process the halachos of Veses Haguf. And then we're going to see Veses Haguf and Veses Hakvitzos are going to merge. That will be very, very interesting. And that will be over here in the middle. Yes, Yisra.
According to Tosos and the Rambam.
Yes.
So is that the case we just said saw in your class? Would that be Veses Hamurka or just Veses Hayam?
According to Tosis and the Rambam, what we just saw,
yeah.
they hold up. Yeah, they're
they
they're modi.
They Veses Hamurka, so they say the Kvitzos do.
Exactly, that's what Yaakov is saying. In Svara, what are the, if you hold the Kvitzos don't are nothing,
why
combine, right? But my sense is that the Talmidim would prefer we hold off on this and leave that for the Beis Medrash. Okay, so let's hold off of that. It's a good question. Okay, it's a fair question. Yesh Lachar knows in Lomus there's something that's that we need to work out. Tov, let's go on. Sif Yud Ches starts with a Gemara. Nachamol Lehelig Gemara says the Gemara on Samach Gimel Amid Beis. Amar Abaye, the context we're going to leave out right now. It's about 10 lines from the top. La'asuye ochloshum. No. I said we'd do Veses Hakvitzos first. Slicha. The Gemara on the bottom, it's not your, you don't have that photocopied. Samach Gimel Amid Alpha. For a second I thought we had photocopied. We've photocopied in the past. If you look at your old photocopies, you should have it. Your old booklets, you should have it. The Gemara Samach Gimel Amid Aleph has the following. Kol isha shiesh lo veses dayo shaita. If a woman has a veses, so we've seen in the past daya shaita, that we don't have to be afraid that the blood came prior to the veses. Ve'elu ein vestos, and what are the vestos? Mifaheches u'me'ateshes. This is what we call a veses haguf. Veses of mifaheches, we will go with the definition of yawning. Now, Rabbi Force likes to go with the definition of cramping, and that throws me off a lot. I was zocha to discuss with Rav Miller today, and I'll tell you what Rav Miller has said about that. I'm going to go away from Rabbi Forrest, and I'm going to call specifically yawning for a reason you will see shortly. So that's the piyuk. Now, piyuk, as you saw in Seder and the Mechaber, has a few definitions. That's a Veses Haguf. That's a Mishnah. Okay? Very interesting. What were you about to ask, Ami? It's a great question. It's Mefurish and Shulchan Aruch. We'll see. Okay, let's read the Shulchan Aruch, and I want you all to ask me a kasha. Okay? So this is a Mishnah Mefureshes that says the following. When a woman has proven three times after when she yawns or stretches out her limbs that she gets her period, that does two things. Number one, for Tumah V'Tahara, Dayo Shaita, which means, again, for those of you who got it wrong on the Bechina, Daya Shaita means that we only need to assume that the blood started now and not before. That's Daya Shaita. And practically in Hilchos Vestos, what Daya Shaita means, what the Vesus means, is that if she yawns and this happens three times, now she has a Vesus and you don't have to be Choshesh for anything else. Let's see this in the Mechaber. Sif Yutes. Yesh Kovas Vesus Hayidei Mikrim. A woman could be koveya veses through occurrences she'ira begufa that happens to her body. Kigon, shemefahekes, for example, that she does piyuk. What's piyuk? Dehainu ka'adam sheposheit zera osa machmas kovei. Person stretches. O ka'adam sheposeach piv machmas kovei. Or they yawn. Now you have to be mahane l'babacher chasidim over here. The Hasidim say that the Rebbe Zechus HaYagan Aleinu Zatzal, emphasis of course on Zatzal, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe never They never saw him yawn ever in his life. That's what they say. The Chassidim say, they never saw him yawn. So the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos was once talking in Chabad. He's a Bialik Chassid. He's a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. So he was talking in Chabad. I once went to hear him, and he spoke about Simcha. And he gave the Maharal's definition of Simcha. The Maharal's definition of Simcha is a person's living the moment. He's in the moment. It's what we call in psychology today present. The individual is present. He's there. So his argument was that most people are not besimcha because they're not where they want to be. They're not doing what they want to do. But if a person's mekabel is that and internalize that, so Ratzon Hashem for them to be there at that particular moment, so then they would be besimcha. So he says, he mentioned that the whole idea that a person yawn, so was foreign to Lubavitcher, even to yawn. Forget about the fall asleep. He never fell asleep on anybody or anything, or he was entirely present, so he didn't even yawn. Time to go to sleep, he went to sleep, but they didn't even see him yawn. And when he said, he turned to the Hasidim and he said, and they were all nodding their heads, that's the Dvarim Yaduim in Chabad, that they never ever saw the Rebbe yawn. Okay, it makes me want to yawn. Okay, so let's take a look at the Mechaber. O ka'adam shebotech pe'u machnas kaved, O ka'adam shemotzi kol derech ha'goron, b'cheni misa'ateshes derech mata, passing gas, o chosheshes b'pi kreso, b'shipulei me'el, o she'ofsu tzirei ha'kadochos, o she'rosha ve'ireha kveidim alel. Avi, that's the answer to your question. The Mechaber says that her limbs are heavy. So that could very well be something along the lines of cramping. Or also she pulei me'eha o she'achsa tzirei hakadachos. These different types of things seem to be along the lines of cramping. And i'are la'shalosh pam v'rasa kavlo v'eses she'bechol pam she'choshesh'es me'em asur l'shamesh. At any moment, it's a prohibited for her to have tashrish. Rabosai, ask me a question. Rabbi Yonatan?
I think Rabbi wants me to ask.
Please ask what I want you to ask. Yeah. Then I'll let you ask what you really want to ask. Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference between kfitzos and this? What's going on?
You hear? Everybody here? The bomb kasha is, what's the difference between vesas of kfitzos, that we paskin is a zero, and the vesas of piuk vesas aguf, that's a regular vesas? Oh, so who asks this question? So if you take a look at the Shach quotes the Rajba that asks this question. Take a look in Nun Hey. Hareza Veses. Fafilu Lamanda Sober Lil Sifyud Zayin Dilo Kava Veses Lukvitas Lichud. Even though we say that you don't have pizzas alone, Hasam Hainu Taima, there it is, Mishum de Ikar Ria Eina Lamachmas Ones. Masha'en Kain Hacha. There it was due to Ones. Here it's different. What does that mean, it's due to Ones? So here, we'll break from our general custom in Siman Kuf Pei Tes, and we will look in the Beis Yosef. If you take a look in the Beis Yosef, if it's easier for you not, I'll read it to you outside. The Beis Yosef says on our Sif, quoting the Rajba. Yeah, the Rajba is in Dibur HaMaskel Veda in the Beis Yosef, which is at the end of Yud Tes Aleph, right before Chav Gimel Aleph. Dibur HaMaskel Veda. In my edition, it's page Samaches. He says, "V'taymo shel davar bir hu yafe v'toras habayis." The only time kfitza is significant is by harkava. Over there, it's an ones. When it comes to jumping, it's an ones that causes it. The kol shetikve eno machmas ha'ones lo kavel of eses. Anything that's caused by your ones is not significant. Avo vesos de gufa ad rabba. But the vesos of gufa is the opposite. Ha oreach hu de gorim lemikrum alolu. What causes what? Is it the jumping that causes the blood, or the blood causing the jumping? Of course, the answer is, it's jumping that causes the blood. Is mechadish the Rashba and Teres Habayis, that when it comes to yawning and cramps and so on and so forth, it's the menstrual flow that causes the yawning. It's the menstrual flow that causes the cramps, according to Rabbi Forrest. You hear? That's the chilut. So if it's something from the outside, so then the Achronim say, number one, external, number two, unpredictable. Over here, Vesas Aguf is what? Vesas Aguf is internal, and therefore predictable. And that is a simen that the Orech Bezmano bought. That's how the Rajba learns. And that's what the Shach is quoting over here in Sif Katan Nun.
Wait.
Nun Hey. Let's leave Reforce for a second. Okay. Let's continue reading in the Helig Mechaber. Umiu. We're in the middle of Oz Sif Yutes. Umiu bepiyuko itush al pam achas. But if it's piyuko itush once, eina vesas nikva elkish osakin harbe pam zacharze. If you have it once, then it's not considered chashana. So this is very interesting, Rebbe said. Even though Veses HaGuf works, we should put this on the board. Veses HaGuf is a Veses, it's a Mishnah on Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. Nevertheless, one time does not have significance. As opposed to when it comes to Haflaga is already one time is chashuv. Over here, one time doesn't have significance.
This is not kavua if it's one.
Very good. Wait. Umiwa piyuko yitu shel pam achas ein aveses nikba el kishe osekein harbe pom zecher ze vim ira la shalosh pa'amim shebechol pam osekein harbe pa'amim hareze veses. So it has to happen, according to the Mechaber, it has to happen with intense frequency at a period of time, and then is followed by a flow. And the simple reading of the Mechaber over here, Rabbi Yonatan, let's leave on the side, is it has to happen three times to have significance. V'chol elu avesu shebeguf, elam zman yedua. And number two, it doesn't have a particular time. V'chol pam shikra, lo zem mikra aveses. But if it happens these three times in intensity, then it's called a veses. Vimbo veses aguf l'zman yodua. And then, if it comes at a particular time, kigom reshchodesh or reshchodesh, mes from yom, les from yom, kovel l'zman, veses l'zman, ulemechush ha-veses, ve'enecho sheshes el l'shneim biyachad. Okay. Now, the Mechaber, after he tells us the basic rules of veses aguf, that's the ratio of the Mechaber, then the Mechaber gives us the same thing. We go back to the red. He says, just like you have Veses Hamurkov by Kfitzos, you'll also have Veses Hamurkov when it comes to Veses Haguf. And that is what? That if she sees on Rosh Chodesh, and she also, when she yawns, she sees, but it's not Rosh Chodesh alone, so it's Rosh Chodesh plus Y. So then, if you have Rosh Chodesh plus Y, so that when she sees Rosh Chodesh plus Y equals Rosh Chodesh alone is not enough. But rather, the only time you have to be Choshesh is when Rosh Chodesh comes and she yawns, then you're going to have to be Choshesh. So again, let's see that inside. V'mbo v'ezaguf l'zman yidua k'gom Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Chodesh. O me esrim yom lesrim yom kavel aveses lizman ulemeichush aveses ve'ene choshesh el shneim biyachad. You're not choshesh for it except when they both come together. V'megia ha'es, is that clear, Yisrael, what I wrote on the board? V'megia ha'es v'lo ba meichush v'she ba meichush b'lo ito ene choshesh. Oh, beautiful. So this is the basic rule of veses haguf with the murkav involved. Now, once again, we have the Ramah with an exception, and the Taz discussing the Ramah's exception. Comes along the Ramah, V'davke shekove veses neshneim biyachad. Avol mitchila choshesh es lekol achad b'fnei atzmo, Ki eina yodas eiza mehen tikba. What happens if she's seen once on Rosh Chodesh plus a yawn? Only once. So says the Ramah, if it's once, says the Ramah, then you'll have to be Choshesh Rosh Chodesh separately, Rosh Chodesh Levad, and the Yawn Levad. What's that? Oh, so that depends on how you read that Shulchan Aruch before. In a Chanan. Wait, slow. I prefer to first do the Taz and then maybe we'll go back, okay? So the Ramah says that you have the yawning by itself, you have to be Choshesh for, and the Rosh Chodesh by itself. So, again, until this happens three times, you don't have a Veses, and you have to be Choshesh for each one of them independently. Comes along the Taz and Sifkatan Lamid Vav. And the Taz says as follows. Beis Yosef Pirish, even though the simple reading of the Mechaber was that the first time has no significance when it comes to Piyut, says the Taz, Pirish, de eina chosheshes kemoveses kavua, avu michol mokom kiveses eina kavua chosheshes. Says the Taz comes into this line and says the first time doesn't have significance. Says the Taz, what does that mean? That just means that it's not in of itself a Veses, but you still have to be Choshesh for an Eino Kavua. You still have to be Choshesh that it's an Eino Kavua. That's what the Taz says. That even though the Mechaber makes no reference up to the fact that if you have Piyuk, you have to be Choshesh one afterwards, nevertheless, comes along the Taz and says, you still have to be Choshesh Eino Kavua. And all that we meant that the first one doesn't have significance just means that you're not Choshesh for it after one time, like a Veses Kavua. Abol, continues the Taz, me'ago, but from the Ramah she'acharze, she'kosa v'dafka she'kol v'esel shneim yachan, mashma she'cholek ala beis Yosef b'zeh. But from the Ramah, it sounds that he disagrees with the Beis Yosef. Usvirale dekan eina choshashes legamri. Kivon shemavur lanu she'en chshash bepiyuk zulas hayomim. Midelo rasa shum pam bepiyuk biyom acher. Viyom ze nikba lo dafka lepiyuk. Delo hichmir losis lo din vesa she'en kavua. Ela kodem hakfiyus. Says the Taz, what did the Ramah do over here? What did the Ramah say? The Ramah said, "V'dafka shekava vesesh l'shneim biyachad, avu mitchila choshesh l'kol echad b'fnei atzmo." The Ramah says that you're choshesh for each one independently. According to the Ramah, are you choshesh for Rosh Chodesh plus yawning? What would you say? The Ramah said that you're choshesh for Rosh Chodesh Levad, and you're choshesh for the yawning Levad. In other words, you separate them entirely. Argues the Taz, this is a little complex. If we got everything up until you don't get the Taz, that's fine also. Argues the Taz that even though the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that you have to be choshesh when you have Rosh Chodesh and yawning together after the first time. Well, by the way, the Shulchan Aruch is a little vague, but at least the way the Beis Yosef explained the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah came along and he said, when it's an Eino Kavua, it's only once, we don't give it any chashivus, Rosh Chodesh and yawning together. We only give the Rosh Chodesh and yawning together chashivus after three times. And the first three times, we look at them as two different things. One is Rosh Chodesh and the other is yawning. Why? Because each one of these are read. Each one of these are valid vestos. If each one of them are valid vestos, so then in such a case we look at them as entirely separately. Or do we say no? We say Vestas Hamurkam is also a valid vestas. And therefore, you would have to be choshish for, like the Taz had said, according to the Mechaber, as an Eino Kavua, that if it happens on Rosh Chodesh and with a yawn, then you have to be choshish for it the next time. So that's a fascinating machlokas between the Taz and the Ramah. The crunch is, do we say that up until your Koveya the Veses of Murkav, we don't look at the Murkav at all? It's entirely insignificant, and therefore we look at the potential Murkav as simply two different potential Veses, one as Rosh Chodesh and the other as Yoni? Or do we say, like the Beis Yosef seems to say, like the Taz quotes, that you look at them together? Taz claims that that's a Machlokas, Ramah and Beis Yosef. Yes, Rabbi Yonah?
I thought, maybe I'm mistaken, I thought the Pshat in the Taz was he's saying there's a machlokas in the Beis Yosef between the Haggah and the following case. A woman has a Veses Kavua for Morkav, so she has to be Hosheshes for an Eino Kavua for the Pihuk or for the Yom. So the Beis Yosef says that alone for the Pihuk, even though she has a Morkav, you're going to be Hosheshes for an Eino Kavua. Whereas the Ramah would say, no, if you have a Veses Kavua for Morkav, you're not Hosheshes for anything else.
The Ramah's.
And that's how he sets it up.
Okay.
And then when he quotes that Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef also.
Okay, let's put that on the side now, and we'll go back to the Beis Medrash to Pras Yul, because I didn't follow exactly what was enough. I guess you were talking about the nafkamina between us. Is you were talking about Kavua, and I was talking about Eino Kavua?
Yeah.
Right. So you're learning Kavua, and I'm learning Eino Kavua. We'll put that on the side, and believe me, I'll be misakin if at the end we're chosen. Okay. So that's the Taz. And that's the Ramah. Tov. Let's go on in the Shulchan Aruch. The next few cases in the Shulchan Aruch should cut easily, and then we're going to get, I want to get all the way to the Ramah and Sif Chav Gimel, and set up for the Halacha L'Maisa Shailas that will be Marchiv more on Thursday. Let's continue with the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber, Piyaka Shteipam Rosh Chodesh, if she yawns twice in Rosh Chodesh, Virasa, and she sees, so if she yawns twice, once doesn't, so it's Rosh Chodesh. If she yawns twice in Rosh Chodesh, what happens if a woman sees twice with piyuk on Rosh Chodesh? Okay, so what we have over here is you have a yawn, okay? You have a yawn plus Rosh Chodesh, and this happens twice. Twice, a yawn plus Rosh Chodesh, and then a yawn on Erev Rosh Chodesh, and then she saw on Rosh Chodesh. So first the time she yawned and she saw on Rosh Chodesh. The third time she yawned and she saw on Rosh Chodesh, but she yawned on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Says the Mechaber, then she's considered someone who has a Veses, that what? Kovala Veses Lepiyuk Shel Rosh Chodesh. She's Koveya Veses Lepiyuk of Rosh Chodesh. She Piyuk Shel Etmol Gorm Lerei'ah Shel Rosh Chodesh. The Shach, you follow the Halacha, should I say it in English again? Good. The Shach in Sifkot Nun Tes asks the great Kasha. When it came to Kfitzos, we didn't say that. When saying to Kfitzos, we said that she has a Veses Kavua of just Rosh Chodesh. Not all of them together, not yawning on Rosh Chodesh. So Shach says beautifully, based on the Rajba that we saw, below Dami Sifkat Nuntes, below Dami Dila'il Sof Sifyu Zayin, Davrina Da'ayom Gorim Velo Kfitza De'etmo, Deshani Kfitza De'machmas Ones Uba. Kfitza is different, it's the ones. So you don't take the kfitza into account. So if you don't take the kfitza into account, so then you look at the re'iyah only as being the 20th. Over here, though, you take into account the piyuk, and hence the difference between the two. So that's an application of the Rajba's Svara. Beautiful. So that's halacha chaf, that even if the piyuk takes place a day before, then the veses would be effective as well. Chaf aleph, piyuka b'rosh chodesh, if she yawned on Rosh Chodesh, rasa v'chazra piyuka b'tochi b'ach chodesh, choshesh l'osav piyuk, v'asur l'shamish ad shetivdok. So once she was piyuk on Rosh Chodesh, and she saw, and she once again was piyuka b'toch b'ach chodesh, choshesh l'osav piyuk. So it's like a regular veses. Piyuk, you have to be choshesh right afterwards. V'asur l'shamish ad shetivdok. Which is why Yonatan was bothered that when I had read earlier that even once it's not significant, all that meant is that it's not considered enough to be considered a full veses. But of course, you have to be choshesh the next time. Shekol veses bein shel yom and bein shel aguf choshesh lo v'pam achas v'yeshlochu shem atikba veses l'piyuk v'lo zman yidua. So you always have to be choshesh that there's going to be piyuk. Vim badka v'nimse shelo rasa ina choshesh lo l'piyuk greida avo choshesh lo rosh chodesh shem atikba l'roshei chodoshim. So if she saw on Rosh Chodesh, but without a piyuk, now you have to be choshesh for Rosh Chodesh. Chabez.
I think there's still distinction between stamina.
Okay, let's leave it. Let's leave it, Rabbi Yaakov. Let's leave it. I want to discuss, but in the Beis Medrash. Okay, I hear, but I want to hear more in the Beis Medrash. Chabez. V'chein adin b'yamin im piyuka hayom u'piyuka l'sof shloshin. Same applies to Yamin. If she yawned today and at the end of the aflaga, in other words, chafbeis is just going to talk about aflaga. Imti paik afilu shelo biyom shloshim choshesh shlos apiyuk shematikba lepiyuk greida. So now we have to be choshesh. Piyuk of esol shloshim rasa ein atzarich loch lochosh od lepiyuk greida. Ah, so now we have that she had an interval of 30 with piyuk, and then what happened was, is 15 days later she yawns and she doesn't see. So now you don't have to be choshesh anymore for piyuk. Piyuk alone, we see, was uprooted after once. Avot tzricha lochosh l'sof shloshim. But now she has to be choshesh still on 30 days. Why? Why do we have to be choshesh? Because it could still be that on shloshim when she does yawns, then she gets her vessels. Beautiful. Chav gimel. Kol elu avessas shenikba ma'idei mikra, ein echad kovein chavera. Anything that happens due to a mikra, now here, what we mean by mikra is vessas haguf, but it doesn't, different vessas haguf don't combine. So what happens, pardon the drama over here, I'm doing essentially to sort of whet your interest. What happens if she has cramps 1 month, she has a headache another month, and she gets shivers a third month? And it always happens at a very, very particular period of time. So says the Mechaber, no, they don't join together. Okay. Now, Rabosai, for years I've been puzzled and I haven't gotten to the bottom of what I'm puzzled by. And that is, Avi got excited that I mentioned Rabbi Forst's expression. I always wondered exactly how do we look at a woman's cramping, what is referred to often as PMS, of whether that would be considered a Vesas Haguf. When I was learned as a Chassan, so the Rabbanim emphasized that that's not a Vesas Haguf. I was taken aback that Rabbi Forst uses the word cramping in describing Vesas Haguf, and basically he concludes you have to consult with the Rav to find out whether cramping is considered a Vesas Haguf. I asked Rav Miller, you know, why is it that more Rabbanim don't take into account? So first Rav Miller pointed out that would be a very good kula, because the moment in which you included cramping as a Vesas Haguf, so then many women do cramp, and then in such case, then you wouldn't have to be choshesh for anything except for the kavua itself. That would be a tremendous, tremendous kula. I don't mean to use the word kula in any way, except that it would affect these women would not have to keep their vestos. So it's something that's on my mind. I hope that Mirtz Hashem will do this again in 3 years. Maybe in 6 years from now, I'll have something more coherent. What I asked for Miller point blank. Did he ever tell a woman that she has Vesas Haguf due to cramping? And he said once. Only once did he say, and he said that was absolute. It was clear that the cramping was a very particular time that was right before the bleeding. It was extremely consistent, a word that Ravilla uses, clockwork. And in such a case, he did think that in such a case it was, which is one of the first times I've ever heard of someone even saying that a woman has a vesis based on cramping. But Miller pointed out that in most instances it doesn't work this way. Most instances, it's all part of a general PMS syndrome. And for that, the fact that there are so many other variables that are at play in of itself takes away from the Veses Haguf, because it needs to be clear that the exact same, like we just read in the Mechaber, we needs to be clear that it's the exact same phenomenon with the same frequency and so on and so forth. And we saw previously in Sif Yutes Harbe Pa'amim, etc., it needs a certain consistency and frequency. But Sarachiyun, it is a Sarachiyun for me that why we don't take into account cramping more. I remember when I was a chassan, I didn't understand it. But that's what you have to say. Ramiller said the moment in which you have other confounding variables that are involved, so then it falls away. Now, as many women will say that they're not feeling well, they'll feel their period coming, but they won't say that they consistently have a cramp on the left side above the abdomen over here. But Eina Chanami, such a thing, I think, does happen. And Sarach Yun, why we shouldn't be able to use it as a kula to say that she has a vesicle. Avi and then Rabbi Yonatan.
Just two quick points. I remember hearing a shayla last year about if a woman cried, if a woman finds to be emotional or crying and before she has her period, would that be there so good? And I think the answer that I heard was that because it didn't happen like immediately after, it wasn't necessarily...
Correct. Correct. In other words, what Avi's raising is that not only, and we have to get back to this, maybe we'll get back to this next week, not only is there have to be a Dover Mesuyam, also one needs to have a small window of time between the Vesaguf and the Dam itself. Yes, Rav Yonatan?
Sure.
Also,
I think it's interesting how cramming could also be one of the simanim of that would also...
And the Rambam puts it together. It happens to be that the Rambam puts it together. The Vesas Haguf and the Hargasha, the Rambam puts together Ayin Sham. Yeah, Rabbi Yonatan.
So you said 90% of what I was going to say. No, it's Kavalik. I thought maybe I'm misremembering. I thought at the beginning of the year when he brought up the Tzitz Eliezer, that Bedavka...
But the Tzitz Eliezer wasn't a Vesas.
Right, he said it was the Hargasha.
Hargasha.
But we said that people were against it. Most of the Olam was against the Tzitz Eliezer because Bedavka of that time...
The time gap.
Variation.
The time.
That's why we don't...
Right, but there's room to be more makel on the Vesas Haguf than there is the Hargasha. Because in the Hargasha, there the Hargasha and the Yitzia has to be at once. When it comes to a Vesas Haguf, we've spoken about the fact that it's an hour apart is also the Nosei Kelim. We didn't do this in the Shir, but Nosei Kelim, a point out an hour apart, is also acceptable.
Okay.
So here it doesn't need that same closeness.
But
okay.
I thought the Nosei Kelim were talking, right, after she had this particular physical thing, but it was and like 3 hours later, but always 3 hours later. I didn't...
Nachon.
Did you remember seeing like a 1 hour or 2 hours?
No, but that's it. There will be a woman who will have always 3 hours later after the cramps, which would not qualify as Argasha.
Really?
That's what Miller was describing.
I see.
That's what... Okay. Now, Rabosai, you tell me. Right now, everything's about to come together, but it's a little late. You tell me, should we push that in the Ramah, or should we stop over here? I'm totally fine stopping here. Show of hands. How many would prefer to stop here? My hand's also up, Avi.
I'm scratching my head right now.
Okay, so me and Avi lose. All right. So says the Ramah as follows. Says the Ramah. Achla shum. Virasa. Too late. Achla shum virasa. We'll do this short. Well, in other words, I'm going to summarize the Ramah, and then we're going to continue Mirtz Hashem shortly. Thursday Mirtz Hashem. Achla shum virasa, achla batzel virasa, achla pilpilin virasa. Yesh omrim shekavala vesleris ayideafilas dvarim chani. Oh. Now we get to the confluence. The confluence is achilas shum. achila shum, you could look at two different ways. Is achila shum, in other words, a woman who eats something sharp and her vessels is brought about. That's a Gemara quoting Rev Papa, if I'm not mistaken, who says achila shum. Excuse me, it's Abaye. Abaye says that achila shum is considered a veses. Okay? Now, the question is how we paskin on that Gemara. And what does that Gemara mean? So here we have a machloikis, and we see it in the Ramah. The Ramah quotes that Rush, who says that it is a veses. So the Rush says that it could be a veses. In other words, according to the Rush, it's like a veses haguf. The Rajba disagrees. Yeshom shekom ashtira de Michael Dina kmo shtira de kfitza. The Rajba says that's considered like kfitza. And therefore the Rajba says that's not considered a veses at all. And that's what these 2 days. Now halacha lemaisa we're going to leave for next time. Halacha lemaisa need to next time. But let's get all the foundations that are necessary. And this is going to be very important, halach lemaisa, this machlokas. All the foundations that are necessary. Rabosai, if you were asked this shailos, and you knew how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch about vestos, how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? We know the green and we know the black. We know that when it comes to vestos kvitzis, that's not a vestos. We know vestos haguf is considered a veses, right? That's the bottom line. What would you say about achila shum? I'll tell you. If you would ask me, I would say like the Rajba. Why? It's outside, right? External, and therefore less predictable. Oh! Azoy zok the Rajba! That's exactly what the Rajba said. The Rajba, who's the Baal Svara of external and unpredictable, that's his shita, l'shita. So take a look at the Beis Yosef. Let's take a look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef explains, oh, everything fits together. Let's see the Beis Yosef. In Chav Gimel Aleph, right below the previous Rajba that we had, Chav Gimel Aleph, he says, V'nira li da Rajba l'tameh d'sabar d'veses kvitzes l'chudei lo avi veses v'veses haba yidei achila shumin u'bitzalm pilpulin d'obi l'veses haba yidei kvitzes. Why? Because it's external. One is jumping and the other is bringing about foods that causes the hormonal process. Who says this beautifully? Ayin Shom, the Grah. The Gra says this beautifully on our Sif, in Sif Katan Lamed Dalid. And the Gra likes the second opinion, of the Rajba, and he spells out that the Rajba himself already said it beautifully. At the end of the day, though, we can't leave the Rush as extremely difficult. So first of all, the Rush has a friend, and that's Tosas. Tosos on that Gemara on Samach Gimel on the Beis says beferish that there is a difference between Tosos points out Tosos asks a kasha. Oh, we have it photocopied, right? Oh yeah, we have Samach Gimel on the Beis photocopied. Beautiful. So take a look at Tosos di Ramaschal Achla Shum. Tosos asks V'im Taimar, 5 lines from the top on the Amud V'amaylo Kamar Nami Kofzav Rasa Davi Nami Alidei Maisa. Tosos asks, why did they just give example Achla Shum? We should have had Samach Gimel and Yud Aleph should be on the same page. In other words, what Tosis is asking in modern terms? Tosis is asking they should be the same color. That's Tosis Kasha. That they should be the same color. That there should be no difference between Veses Haguf and Veses Kvitzos and Ochlashum. V'yesh lomar de'enu kovas Veses Kvitzos lechudayu. Veses Kvitzos is different. That's onus. Here, shum is not considered onus, argues Tosos. Kamo torach shel kvitza. She'ein ho ri'ia ba al yidei torach ela memela.
I love actually,
what? It doesn't come due to the kvitza. In other words, it's not external. It's something that happens memela. So what does that mean? That's something that happens memela. What does Tosas mean by that? So the Achronim struggle to explain. What the Achronim are struggling to explain is not just Tosas. Everybody got the breakup over here? That basically the rush is one day in the Ramah. We have 2 days in the Ramah. The rush... The Rajba is beautiful. We were masbir l'shitaso with kvitzas. So according to Rajba, we got the color right. According to Rajba, it's green. According to the Rush, the color... I'm having fun. I must have missed the stage in kindergarten or something. So according to the Rush, the Rush is no, that this is real Vestas. Is a real Vestas. But according to Rajba, no, according to the Rajba, it goes back into this category over here. So according to Rajba, it should be considered like Vestas Akvitas. So who says like the Rosh Tosas? What's Tosas' Svara? So Tosas says this is different, it comes Mamela. What does Tosas mean, it comes Mamela? So the Badei HaShulchan attempts a Svara, if you don't mind. I have the original. The Badei HaShulchan. What page is that? Did I photocopy for you?
Kuflam
Beis. Reish Nun Beis. The Badei HaShulchan says a svara. The dafka b'ri'iyah, at the beginning of the piece, without the Dibra Maschil. The dafka b'ri'iyah shal yidei kfitza sheba yidei ones v'torech ha'kfitza shu gorem chitzoni. When it comes to jumping, that's a gorem chitzoni. Ve'enek kosher v'mahalek hativ shariyaz dam b'isha when it comes to jumping, the body is not adjusting. The body is being forced from the outside. It's true. It's external. The achila doesn't cause it. Shetire. The argument goes that, I guess Rav Tzvi could do some research of what if there's any chemical understanding of what's going on over here, but the argument goes as follows: when she eats something sharp, it causes a hormonal change which causes her regular period. In contrast to kvitza, the kvitza itself is an external lodging of the blood. Now, it's hard to understand a little bit why the poskim made this assumption. Tosis clearly, it's already Tosis' fault and the Rush's fault. Someone would say, we didn't start the fire. But at the end of the day, this is the pshat over here in the 2 days. Oh, Rabosai, halacha l'maisa, we need to decide what are practical examples. And to stay posted, now we're ready to talk about birth control pills, because the poskim discuss that the closest example to achila shum of being koveya veses, the closest example to birth control pills that you could regulate the period is achila shum. So it's really, really fascinating that it could very well be that birth control pills goes back to the Gemaras on Samach Gimel on the Beis, to Taisis is Kasha, v'chule v'chule. Then we're ready, Beis Hashem, next time to tackle a few more of the halach l'mais issues that come out from here, and we're ready to make a big siyum. In a short while, Beis Hashem will make the siyum on Simen Kuf Pei Tes, and then we will go on to Kuf Pei Ches to do Maros Dam, and then we will go Beis Hashem to Ksamen. Okay, thank you for allowing me to put the pedal to the metal to move a little faster. We have to pick up with a couple questions in the basement.